and let me hear. Leave the tears into the stream, as sad as I can be. Hear me, willow, and weep for me.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. And that, believe it or not, was DeMarc Cunell. But now it's 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. And the very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. The weekly get-together where we discuss the declining events of the world and how we're all doomed and things like that, it's always a good bit of fun. And today I have to voice my objections about something that's even more important than the state of the world, and that's the weather. My God, Well, first of all, I like today. And for those of you not in the area, I guess I have to explain. Today is nice, windy, rainy, kind of one of those dark and depressing days. And I like that kind of weather. It's winter, after all. We should have weather like this. But lately, it's just been an embarrassment. We've had temperatures in the 50s and 60s even. It's the end of January. Now we're going into February. Tomorrow is February 1st, and we have yet to have a decent snowfall this year. So whoever is in charge of these things, really, you better get your act together because time is running out. And the whole world is watching, and this winter has just been pathetic so far. My God. But no, today was good. Today was good, but it wasn't cold enough. It was too warm. It was nice and windy, nice and rainy. You know, it's one of those days where, you know, you can walk into a forest and instead of the loudest sound in the forest being your own screams at how pathetic everything is and how frustrating the world can be, instead the loudest sound will be the trees blowing in the wind. You know that's a good day when you go into the forest and that's what you hear instead. So, yeah, more weather like this, please. That's what I want, but haven't been happy so far. Okay, that's the important stuff. Some of the more minor, mundane news of the day. It's been lightning fast confirmation for Judge Alito. He was approved by the wishy-washy Senate today, sworn in this afternoon, and I believe he's already overturned Roe versus Wade. Is that right? Unbelievable. This guy is quick. And who knows what's going to be next. Coretta Scott King has already passed on, and no doubt this was a key factor in that. My God. Well, you know, actually, maybe he won't be so bad. Maybe he'll be more of a moderate, you know? How do we really know? How do we really know what someone's going to do once they become part of the Supreme Court? They could go completely crazy and start acting in a manner contrary to that which we were accustomed. We can certainly hope for that anyway. But, yeah, the Senate totally caved on this one. And you know, they're going to cave again tonight during the State of the Union address. I'll bet they all stand up and applaud 50 times like they always do, like the trained monkeys they are, because they don't know any better. I'm not even going to watch it. I'll tape it, or I'll TiVo it. Is that a verb? Okay, I'm going to TiVo the State of the Union tonight, but I'm not going to watch it because I know what it's going to be like. It's going to be Bush giving the same old nonsense, the same vague promises. He's going to pull an Iraqi up by the ears and wave him around for the crowd to cheer at. Say, thank you for making my country free, and don't worry about the car bombs. Well, we have lots more cars. But instead, what I would like to see, and this is the reason I'm TiVoing it, because maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that somebody, somewhere, will stand up and say, Mr. President, you're a liar. You're a liar and a killer and a war criminal. Yes, and I demand justice. And I don't know if it'll be a senator. I don't know if there'll be somebody in the audience. But, you know, this is the time where you got to speak up. If not now, when? But that's why I'm TiVoing it, in the dim chance that something like that will happen, which I really don't think is going to happen. And, of course, I am using reverse psychology by saying that. Of course, I just undid it by explaining it. But the point is, we need people to speak up. We need people to be a bit confrontational and to basically let the world know what they're thinking. Stop being so wishy-washy. We're not all in the Senate, after all. And you know, the Senate could have stopped. By the Senate, I mean the Democratic senators could have stopped Judge Alito from being nominated. They could have. They chose not to. Time will tell if that was a good decision or not, but if the day comes when something really bad happens and Judge Alito is the reason why, or not having Judge Alito would have made a big difference, don't look to the Republicans, because they only did what they're trained to do. Look to the Democrats who had the opportunity to do something different and chose not to. Those are your real culprits. But I don't want to dwell on the negative. I don't want to dwell on the real world. I want to dwell on something more cheerful than that. What could that possibly be? Well, there are all sorts of other things going on in the world. And some of it is fiction. Some of it is fact. Some of it is just pure fantasy. I've been spending the last... I don't even know how much time I've been spending on this, but I've been working on archiving some of the really old broadcasts, pre-brain damage broadcasts from this radio station that I was involved in, and it's been great in some ways, because you find all these little nuggets of history that have been completely forgotten about. Like, remember the Panama invasion? Yeah, we did a whole special about that here on this radio station when it happened. Yeah, we did invade Panama. I'll bet there were people who don't know that. We've pretty much invaded every country. And we've done specials on all the invasions as they took place. We had Grenada, we had Panama, there was the first Iraq, there was bombings in various places, Nicaragua and El Salvador. It's just too many to list here. But the radio shows that we did in the past covered all kinds of interesting topics, and it's sort of a time capsule. So listening to all those, archiving those, and eventually releasing them to the public, it's been an educational experience. It can be reaffirming if you realize that, hey, this place is still here, and a lot of us are still speaking out and believing in what we say. But it also can be depressing when you realize how little things have changed over the years. You know, we're talking over 20 years ago, some of these programs. And some of the predictions came true. But you could almost easily put something like that on the air today and it would sound like we're making the same warnings. Like Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned, and we're about to enter a really dark and depressing era, and many American servicemen are going to be dying in misplaced military adventures and things like that. So you wonder, over 20 years have gone by, we've been saying the same thing, and nothing really has changed, except maybe things have gotten a whole lot worse. So yeah, that can be a little depressing. It certainly can be. Especially if you feel like you haven't gotten anywhere. And that's something I have trouble with sometimes. You know, whenever someone comes up to you and someone you haven't seen in a while, and they say, "So, what have you been up to?" It's just, that's the question I can never answer. I can't answer that question. Now, I know I'm doing things. I know I'm active and constructive in various ways, productive in other ways, but that's a really tough one. What have I been up to? What have I been doing? What did I do? Sum it all up in a paragraph or two. There are people who can do that. There are people who can talk about their portfolios and the condo they just got and where they've been and what they've done, who they've seen, who they've met, who they killed, you know, various interesting stories. I have interesting stories, but what's broken in me is the indexing part, where I'm able to just sort of call them up on demand. Say, "Oh, yes, well, last Tuesday I met the Pope, and we had dinner, and I just kind of enjoy the experience and then immediately move on to the next one and forget about it, and I don't catalog it in a efficient manner." So, yeah, if you ask me what I've been up to, and I draw a blank stare, it's not because I've been doing nothing. I don't think, anyway. But, yeah, when you listen to shows that are over 20 years old, you might get that feeling, too, that, you know, what exactly has been going on the last two decades? What does it all mean? Where will we be another two decades from now? So I guess there's a danger in getting obsessed with it and thinking about it too much. And that's why we must live for the present and strive for the future and try to forget about the past. Okay, what's going on otherwise in the world? Let's see. I'm going to take a look at a couple of news headlines and things like that. Actually, no. Something else I want to do before I do that. Talking about the past. Because I've been looking at the past in other ways as well. Looking at some of the history, some of the news, some of the things that have gone on, some of the old TV programs. This is what I've been doing last couple of weeks, on and off. Somebody advised that I do this, and like the fool I am, sometimes I listen. So all this talk about Battlestar Galactica, the new TV show, and how everybody is impressed with it. I'm somewhat impressed. The effects are great. The story, I don't know. They could do better. So someone suggested that I go back and watch the original one that came out back in 1978. And I did. I got the DVDs. I watched the film. I watched the TV version of the film, which is different. And I watched the entire series. And then, I did something even crazier. I went out on eBay and found somebody who was selling pirated copies of the spin-off series, or the second season, or whatever you want to call it, called Galactica 1980. Quite possibly the worst television show ever made. And I'll get into that in a second, but let me just explain a little bit of the history here. Battlestar Galactica was a series that came out back in 1978, right after Star Wars. And, of course, they were accused of ripping off Star Wars, and so all kinds of back and forth about that. But it was basically the first major science fiction television program on the air, I think, since Star Trek. But the episodes cost $1 million each, and back then that was a lot of money. It's still a lot of money, I think, but in today's crazy entertainment world, it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. A 50th of what each cast member of Friends makes per episode or something? I don't know. So, it was a very popular program. It had the best ratings ever for ABC, but they couldn't afford to keep it on. They couldn't afford it. So even though it was a rating success, they canceled it. Now, granted, it's pretty cheesy and corny in many places, and the effects really are kind of awful. But back then it was cutting edge. We didn't know any better back then. And so what happened was they canceled the show, so it was not on for 1979-1980 season. However, there were deals made in back rooms, and producers of the program were able to come up with some of the compromise where they would come on as a mid-season replacement and sort of lose the whole space thing. a show about a spaceship that's traveling through space, and they're going to lose the space thing to save money. For those of you who don't know, Battlestar Galactica was this huge battleship that was fleeing the Cylon Empire of robots, and they basically came from other human colonies that were all destroyed. And they were searching for the last remaining colony, the 13th colony known as the planet Earth. And took a couple of episodes, but the light bulb lit in many people's heads. Hey, that's my planet. They're on their way here. We're related to these people. Okay, so when Galactica 1980 came on, the premise was that they had found Earth. And all the scripts took place basically in Los Angeles. They were running around in present-day Los Angeles. It made no sense at all. It made no sense. Because when they were getting close to Earth, at the end of the real series, you heard the Eagle has landed. You heard that radio transmission. So that meant they were in like the late 60s. So somehow they wound up in 1980. And that doesn't even make sense either, because these guys were all dressed in attire that made you think that they were responsible for ancient Greece and Egypt and all kinds of other ancient civilizations. But somehow they wound up in 1980. So all these horrible plot devices were introduced that basically were little morality plays. You know, you'd be on the ground with the two pilots that for some reason are riding around in motorcycles, and all of a sudden they come upon this evil plant manager who's polluting the water. And next thing you know, they're giving him a lecture about how it's wrong to pollute the environment. This is what the show was reduced to. But now what I'm wondering, how this all ties into what I was talking about before, about looking back at the past and looking ahead to the future. Back then, did we know how bad it was? Were we aware? I think in that case, we probably were. We probably knew that show really sucked and had to get off the air, which is why it only lasted half a season. But I don't know if we knew just how bad it was. Obviously, we didn't know how bad the special effects were, because they were the best that we could manage. Cheesy dialogue was sort of the norm of the day, so we didn't really see anything that wrong with it. And as kids, it was still something to look forward to every week. So the point is, looking back in hindsight, obviously we can look at all the things that are wrong, the things that are primitive, the things that are stupid, and judge them. But we can't judge them quite as effectively then. You just keep going back in time, and it seems as if mankind is just dumber and dumber as you keep going back further and further. But if you turn around and start heading the other direction and use a little imagination, you might see how that could apply to present-day society. Now, does that make us bad people because we're doing things that are stupid, that are wrong, that are primitive? Not necessarily. Does that mean the people back then were bad because they engaged in things that today we don't consider to be acceptable? Not at all. In fact, sometimes we're wrong today for judging them. The whole political correctness movement. There are certain things you just cannot do today that you could do back then. And I have an interesting example of this that I found on the web. The web is your friend. You can find all kinds of interesting things on the web if you just spend about 8 or 10 hours a day just clicking on things and looking. And not talking to anybody else, too, by the way, because that'll just distract you. Now, these are quotes from an old TV show called Hollywood Squares. I'm sure you've all seen it or heard of it. It's this game show where basically everybody, it's a 3x3 grid, and I think they are actually on top of each other. People actually go up the stairs, and Paul Lynde was in the middle, and all kinds of other Hollywood people were on these particular little squares, and they would answer questions. I think it was just a yes or no, true or false type of a thing. They'd have some poor slob from the audience that would basically either believe what the celebrity said or tell them they were full of it and pick something else. And usually they won lots of money and everybody had a good laugh. Well, I remember this program as a kid. And it was funny, it was good, it was educational. But looking back, looking at some of the things that were said on it, I realize how incredibly racist it was. Listen to some of these quotes. This is unbelievable. Now, Pete Marshall was the host. Let's see. Okay. Here's a question that Peter Marshall asked and Paul Lind answered. He was always there with a snappy comebacks. Of course, it was all scripted in advance. I'm certain of that. Here's the question. According to Apartment Life magazine, can you tell anything significant about the personality of a person whose apartment has brown carpeting, brown furniture, and brown walls? And Paul Lynn's answer was, yes, their maid just exploded. Oh, my God. Can you believe that? Network television. In the 1970s. It boggles my imagination. How about this one? True or false, most African soccer teams have their own witch doctor. Red Fox answered this. Red Fox, Sanford, of Sanford and Son. That's true, and their motto is, if you can't beat 'em, eat 'em. Unbelievable. And it wasn't just racism, either. It was all kinds of things that you probably couldn't say today. Remember Rosemarie from the Dick Van Dyke Show? That's one of the programs, actually, that has aged well. There are some programs that just have a level of intelligence in them, and you can watch them 20, 30 years later, 40 years later even, and it still sort of works. And the Dick Van Dyke Show is one of them. All in the Family, obviously, is another, except for the later episodes. Green Acres, believe it or not, is yet another. But no, not Battlestar Galactica or Galactica 1980. I'm sorry, this doesn't work. But here's one that she answered. According to Parade magazine, on what night of the week is a woman most likely to be molested? Her answer, with my luck, it's tonight, and I'm working. You can't say that on television. I'm probably going to get letters for saying it on the radio. Trying to find another good one. Ah, yes, this is unbelievable. Famed Dr. Theodore Rubin was asked recently, what causes prejudice? He said, I'll answer in one word. What word was it? Paul Lynn says, Puerto Ricans. Of course, that's just wrong because, first of all, that's two words. but it just goes to show how much things have changed in a relatively short amount of time. Okay. Does that make the people back then bad? Does that make them ignorant? Well, obviously, everyone's ignorant to a degree. But I don't remember those people as being evil. It's just very strange to see how how perspective just completely changes. And anyway, we've got lots of letters from last week's show, and actually we've had a couple for the shows before as well. But let's try to get into a couple of those as well. otw@2600.com is our email address, and of course we always enjoy hearing from our listeners. Here's a listener wrote in, said, I just finished listening to the Around the World shows and reading the logs. Of course, you're referring to the Around the World by Land and by Sea trip I took last summer, where I somehow managed to record a radio show, no matter where I was, and have it sent here, played over the air. And yeah, that was kind of cool. A lot of people write in to say they enjoyed those shows and that I should go away more often. I had caught some of the shows and listened to the downloads while reading the logs. It was a lot more complete and synchronized and very entertaining. I thought it was funny when you were trying to, I can't say that word over the air, but when you were trying to basically lie to the train cop in London by saying to him, we are just recording something for the folks back home. That was when I was being kicked out of the Underground for having a microphone. I wasn't really lying because, well, I don't know how many people were listening. Maybe it was only a couple of folks back home. And if the CD never made it to the air, then it was even fewer than that. Also, you're being searched on the train in New Mexico is interesting. Outrageous, but interesting. Such unwarranted searching is a terrible constitutional outrage. Your tie-dye attire must have triggered some type of profile cop reaction. Actually, I wasn't wearing tie-dye. I haven't worn tie-dye in quite some time, actually. And I think they searched everybody on the train. This was an Amtrak train going across the United States. They just claimed they had a drug problem in New Mexico, so they had to search people on the train. And I know I should have objected, but you're on a train. You really don't want to have to get off in New Mexico and fight cops. So if it takes 30 seconds of your life and makes them happy, I don't think you can be blamed for just trying to get on with your life. It's too bad you didn't have the time/money/patience/support to fight the search. Signed, Jay. Jay, you're right. But at least I had the microphone where I could talk about it. So, there's that. To add to the comments you had about this nation's prudish attitude, I'm aware that a lot of this has to do with my location and the small city syndrome, but I do live in a college town, which I thought were usually more forward-thinking. Here in Northern Michigan University, we have a fine art museum. Do you mean a fine arts museum or a fine art museum? Not quite sure. But in any event, it invites the local schools to come and view the art. They provide tours for the students and try to educate the youth about the history of art. Currently, the show is Copley to Cassatt, American Paintings from the Detroit Institute of Arts. It was brought to my attention that a fair number of the elementary schools opted not to share this wonderful learning experience with their students, all because there is one painting of a partially nude female. I hope this little bit of information helps to show you the extent of the ignorance that the people of our great nation have, signed Dylan. Well, Dylan, you certainly nailed it. What is it that people have in this country about the nude figure? Especially male nudity. Oh, my God. Frontal male nudity in a movie gets you NC-17 just like that. Doesn't have to be any sex or anything like that. You can blow somebody's head off. That's not a problem. That'll get you a PG. But you show a penis, and that's the end of the world. That, to me, that points to people with real problems. And that's exactly what I've been talking about before. When we look back on this time period, we'll point to that and say, my God, what was wrong with these people? What was their major malfunction? Here's another letter. Too bad I'm not writing from a faraway place like some of the recent listeners. I live in Manhattan, New York. But I have firsthand knowledge of that other very faraway Manhattan, the one in Kansas. That was where Bush was last week. I lived in Kansas City, 1 hour's drive from Manhattan until I left for college and never looked back. A few of my friends went to K-State, and during our college years I had occasion to visit. It's no surprise to me that Bush's handlers chose K-State. Is that what they call it? K-State? What a weird name for a school. They chose K-State for a photo op, as one could count on complete subordination and self-censorship of most of the people there. Maybe he should give the State of the Union from there. So it's the same as the Senate, I guess, right? And the House. The indoctrination and acceptance of propaganda is so pervasive in that part of the Midwest that I'm not even sure you're correct in thinking that most of the questions were directly White House scripted. Except for the Iraqi Kurd, that's just too much to believe. But I have no problem believing that the university is chock full of kids who have fully internalized all the falsehoods of the present administration and the corporatocracy. Is that right, or did I leave out a syllable? Corporatocracy. No, that's not right. Whatever, you get the idea. That thing that we live in. That's just how things are there. You like it or leave it, and I chose to leave. Interesting, because I met a lot of people from that area, and I know a lot of people still live there and still have brains and still have opinions and a rebellious spirit. And those are the people you really have to salute. Because you got to be really strong, you got to be really brave to be an independent thinker when everybody else is towing the line. And I think in a sense, it's important that people stick around and try to become stronger. Anyway, on a side note, you are correct to suppose that most of the people there have never met a Jew. Perhaps they've met a Jew in name only. For all of my time spent in a certain prep school in Kansas City, where probably half of my classmates were so-called Jews, I can't say I ever observed anything in their households that even remotely resembles the practices of Jews here in New York or in Europe. I was lucky enough as a teenager to have what passes in Kansas/Missouri as a world perspective, and I can tell you that perspective is nothing close to what's actually out there in the world. It's too bad I can't get the WUSB signal from my apartment. When possible, I listen to the other show live on FM radio, if anybody remembers what that is. Signed, Nick. Thank you, Nick, for that that nice correspondence. And, of course, you can go to our website, WUSB.FM, and listen to the radio station anytime you want. That's right, we're streaming on the Internet for the whole world to enjoy. So you don't have to limit yourself to off the wall. Dear Emmanuel, it was nice to hear a media voice from below the 49th parallel mention the elections we just had up in Canada. As a Canadian, the thing I like most about our elections is that there's generally just a few months of campaigning before the election. It seems to me the Americans start campaigning a year beforehand. A year beforehand? Try 2 years. It started already. Who's going to run for the Democratic presidential nomination? Will it be Hillary? Will it be John Kerry? Who cares? They'll figure out a way to blow that election, too, and hand it on a silver platter to the Republicans yet again. I'm certain of that. It's a skill. It really is. How can we possibly lose this election? We'll come up with a way. We will. It seems to me the Americans, yes, start campaigning a year beforehand. By the time Election Day comes, everyone is just exhausted. Another thing I like is that there is no limit to how long someone can be in office in Canada. Interesting. This means that the Prime Minister is always accountable, in theory anyway, and hoping to be reelected. With the two-term limit in the U.S., the outgoing president can do whatever the hell he wants. He can't be reelected, so why should he care? Pretty cynical, but I guess it's these crazy times. Interesting point. Of course, if Bush could get reelected next time, that would frighten so many people. But maybe it would be something that would make him have to act more accountable, although he's never done it up until now. I don't know. Interesting theory. I just like the system they have up there much better, where you actually have a quick election, a quick turnaround, not always the way you want it to be, but at least a chance that things can change. And, of course, what just happened up there is a bit troubling, a bit concerning. In case you missed it, last Sunday? Yeah, that's the other thing. No, it was Monday. It was Monday. They have elections. I was going to say they have elections on the weekends when people can actually vote. Okay, they had it on a Monday. But still, you know, they have it on different days. It's not always the first Tuesday in November, unless that Tuesday is November 1st, which I learned last year. And you have coalition governments, you have people from third parties that actually might have a say in things, and that's kind of interesting. Here's another letter on that subject. I just wanted to make a few notes on your discussion about the new conservative government up here in Canada. You mentioned that this new government isn't strong enough to reverse the laws allowing gay marriage. The statement shows that you assume the new prime minister wishes to move to make gay marriage illegal. This is not the case. Indeed, the prime minister has previously been one of the few to point out that such an action violates our Constitution and Bill of Rights. This letter is from Ryan of Alberta, and I want to get back to that in a second, Ryan, but let me finish your letter first. It's possible that the conservative notion in the USA is slightly different, and such named groups will have different agendas and goals than those of Canadian conservatives. If I recall, our conservatives tend to favor personal rights and the ability for people to choose how to live their lives instead of creating more laws, regulations, restrictions, basically that limit what we can do in the name of some mystical greater good. This, of course, does not grant people free rein and does not create chaos, because even though you may be allowed more freedoms, there are still consequences for your actions, such as shown by the desire for tougher sentencing for people who commit violent crimes. Then again, this letter was written without any concrete fact-checking, mostly some memory of news reports and interviews heard from our national broadcaster, the CBC, which is quite possibly also very biased. I'll be the first to admit that I may not see things as they always are, but I'm always questioning of the way that people tell me they are. I don't think you can ask for anything more than that. In short, the above incoherent rambling is mostly saying that I think you are wrong in some of your statements about Canada's new conservative government. I'm a supporter of this new government, which should be obvious, not only because of their mandate, which I mostly approve of, but also because the outgoing Liberal government is certifiably one of the most corrupt governments our country has had in recent years. I enjoyed the show. Look forward to hearing more. Signed, Ryan from Alberta. And it's an interesting thing, Ryan, is that, yes, no doubt they are corrupt, the Liberal government that was kicked out. But when you compare the corruption there, we're talking about, I don't even know what the corruption was about, but it was so minor, it's something that a city government would do here and get away with, let alone a national government. Meanwhile, the scandals that our national government has are simply unbelievable. It's like comparing the Little League to the NFL. Well, of course, you have different sports, too, but never mind that. It's the magnitude is just insane. But to get back to your first point concerning the gay marriage issue, this comes from the Associated Press today. Conservative leader Stephen Harper, who campaigned on the promise that he would allow Parliament to vote on whether to reopen the issue of gay marriage, said that he would prefer to do it sooner rather than later, but not immediately. Boy, talk about a wishy-washy statement that is. Sooner rather than later, but not immediately. So, I mean, to me, that sounds like it could be in danger. If Parliament approved the motion, the government would then introduce legislation changing the definition of marriage back to that of a union between a man and a woman. The gay marriage law was brought in by the outgoing Liberals. Both supporters and opponents say the vote will be very tight, especially since Harper does not control a majority of the 308 seats in the House of Commons. Harper's gay marriage pledge reflects the views of social conservatives who are unhappy that the House of Commons voted last June by 158 to 133 to allow same-sex marriage. We're just happy, to be honest, to have a chance to deal with this, said a spokesperson for Focus on the Family, which sounds like an organization we'd have down here. I'd put it at 140 to 130 legislators in our favor. I think we're out in front, but that doesn't matter if you don't know where the undecideds are. So, yeah, it's not true. It's not true that he's a supporter of that. Now, of course, he has a minority government, which means that he does not control the House of Commons. So there are some checks and balances. But it could definitely swing in a different direction. Sticking with Canada for a second, this is kind of interesting, too. French President Jacques Chirac took a call from Canada's newly elected leader, only to find that he had been fooled by a pair of radio pranksters known as the Masked Avengers in Canada's French-speaking city of Montreal. Chirac's office confirmed that the French leader had taken a courtesy call on Thursday, purportedly from Canada's new conservative prime minister-elect, that is, Stephen Harper. But after swapping diplomatic niceties during a lengthy chat, Marc-Antoine Audet of CKOI Radio, which is Canada's most popular station with over 1 million listeners, let the 73-year-old Chirac in on the joke. We chose Mr. Chirac because he is pretty famous. He is the president of France, and for us, it was the chance to talk to a head of state. You know, this is another thing. Back in the day, we could have done things like that right here. And of course, we live in such a paranoid state now that both here and throughout the country, we live in fear. Oh, my God, we can't call somebody live on the air without getting it cleared first. We could be subject to all sorts of legal issues. And so creativity and imagination and pranks like this are things of the past and things of Canada as well. So I'm glad they're up there doing this kind of thing because we're not allowed to anymore. Actually, you know, I debate that. I think we are allowed to. I think we're just self-censoring ourselves and making life a whole lot more miserable than it has to be. Of course, there are a lot of idiots out there, people who call people and say, oh, yeah, your wife just died, and, you know, playing a practical joke on them on the air and doing horrible things like that. And those people, they should be, you know, brought out and shot, I think. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about good-natured fun. I think we've forgotten how to have good-natured fun. One thing we haven't forgotten how to have down here, though, are shooting rampages. You hear about the latest one? This is something. A former postal... Yeah, back in the post office. We haven't had a postal shooting in a while, but had one yesterday. Former postal worker shot 5 people to death at a huge mail processing center, then killed herself, in what was believed to be the nation's deadliest workplace shooting ever carried out by a woman. Well, chalk one up for equal rights. Yeah, this is a milestone. This is a day that'll live in history. At last, the women are catching up to the men as far as mass murder. And I say it's about time. You know, one theory I have always had, and this has gotten me into trouble with a lot of people, I think that women can be just as pig-headed as men. I think black people can be just as stupid as white people. And I think the Bush administration has done nothing than prove that time and again with the many people that they've appointed. But yeah, okay, so you have postal shootings making a comeback. The attack Monday night was also the biggest bloodbath at a U.S. postal installation since a massacre 20 years ago helped give rise to the term going postal. I still think I used that phrase before anybody else did. But I have no proof, you know. I have to copyright things quicker next time. The woman reloaded her 9mm handgun at least once during the rampage. She had not worked at the plant for more than 2 years, but still managed to get inside the fenced and guarded Santa Barbara Processing and Distribution Center. How she got in was under investigation. It's funny, they don't say how she got a 9mm gun is under investigation, because we're issued those at birth down here. I'm speaking for the benefit of you Canadians. Down here, we all get our guns when we're born. It comes with the birth certificate. But how do you get into a postal facility? Thing is, you should be able to get into a postal facility. It's not a military zone. It's a postal facility. I remember going to high school just down the road from here. And you would walk in the door. Yeah, that's you'd pick a door. You'd pick any door you wanted to, and you'd walk in. And you know what? You could walk out, too. And today what we have armed guards. I don't know. I haven't actually gone to the school to check this out, but this is what people tell me. Guards at one particular point of entry that check people to make sure they're not carrying guns or weapons of any sort, checking them to make sure they're not convicted child molesters or members of Al-Qaeda. Not if they're draft recruiters, you know, people trying to get young people to sign up to get killed. They're okay. Let them in, because they'll probably hand out more guns to the kids. So instead of focusing on the real issues, why is there such violence? Why is it so easy to get your hands on things that can kill people? No, we choose to just simply wrap ourselves around our barbed wire and, you know, hide a little bit more. Trade stories about how evil and nasty people are by default, how you can never talk to strangers. Because that's the way to stay safe. So, yeah, things have changed. I have trouble thinking of the ways I've changed over the years and what I've been doing, but boy, I can go on for many, many hours about how the world has changed around me and how things that used to be taken for granted are just not in existence anymore. And you realize this when you go to other countries and you see how they do things there, and you see the level of trust that exists as a default. You see the non-existence of cops everywhere you look. And here it's like the military is everywhere, because the way cops are armed these days, you might as well be a soldier. So the question is, what makes us so violent? What makes us the people that we are, where we go around shooting everybody, getting into violent confrontations, and just basically just being angry and frustrated all the time? I notice this. I notice this whenever I travel with Americans. Not all Americans. But I just notice the kind of disconnect from the rest of the world. Getting frustrated by the little things. Being uptight about the little things. Being worried about everything. Working ourselves to death. Literally. Not knowing how to have fun. Not being easygoing. Always suspecting the worst of people. And you just notice that when it's brought up in contrast to people who know a different way. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of willpower to sort of get that out of your system. But I think once you do, you're more prepared to deal with things that might come down the pike later in life. Continuing with our shooting theme here, this actually happened last week. An 8-year-old... Yeah, getting in early. 8-year-old accidentally, we think, shot a 7-year-old at a daycare center. Apparently he was loading his gun and didn't realize that it was... No, he brought the gun because his stupid parent or whatever left the gun out. Happens all the time. Doesn't happen all the time that a kid brings a gun to school or daycare. And happens even less that the kid brings a school to daycare... brings the gun to daycare and shoots somebody. That happens even less. But it happens a lot where people have access to these things. That's what the real problem is. 8-year-old. Unbelievable. I think they finally charged the parents with something. Being incredible idiots. Okay, what else do we have here? Running out of time. I just don't want to lose track of some of the more important things. Well, you saw last week, you might have seen this. Actually, it's a story that was kind of like a supernova. It was there and it was gone. But a week ago, we didn't have time to get into this last week. A week ago, they announced, the Justice Department announced, a 65-count indictment against 11 environmental activists accused of eco-terrorism attacks in 5 states. Now, this was the reaction to the latest Osama bin Laden speech that had come out. Everybody was all concerned, oh my God, the terrorists are still out there, they're going to strike again. So a day or two later, there's this big high-profile press conference with the Justice Department where they indict these guys. And they say, this is the pinnacle of terrorism in the United States. These guys who blow up SUVs and light construction zones on fire and things like that. Not the nicest things in the world to do, but terrorism? This is vandalism. Vandalism is not terrorism. It's very different, but they want to equate the two. And they want to say, this is the same thing as Al-Qaeda. And the funny thing was, they had this big elaborate press conference, you know, not a single question afterwards by any of the reporters had anything to do with what they were talking about. It was all about the real terrorists of the world, it was about the Patriot Act, it was about the NSA spying on Americans, all the various scandals that have been going on. It was about that, because that's what people care about. nobody really cares about this. I mean, yeah, people are concerned when their SUVs are getting lit on fire, I suppose. And someone could get hurt. But it seems to me these people are vandals, and they're not interested in hurting people or killing people. They're interested in making a statement, maybe a misguided statement. I'm not going to get into that now. I know lots of people who would go on about this for many hours. And I don't have many hours to go on about it, but it's a totally different issue, and it just, I think, shows how disconnected they are down there. Okay, what else do we have here? Oh, very special day in England. A 100th British soldier has died in Iraq. Well, guys, what can I say? Congratulations seems inappropriate, but still, you know, we've skyrocketed well past 2,000 now. I think we're closing in on 2,500? I don't know. I haven't checked recently. But you guys are only up to 100. But still, that's something to note. 100 British soldiers have died in this pointless adventure. Unbelievable. Oh, do you guys, did I catch 24 yesterday? I know, I shouldn't be watching this because it's just, it's so bad. But it is funny. It really is. 24, of course, being the program that fights terrorism by telling these stories of one particular agent who somehow is able to save the world every single year in a single day. Every episode is 1 hour. Supposedly told in real time, but not really. And so far this year, we've had an ex-president assassinated. I'm going to give away things, so if you haven't seen it, don't listen to me. An ex-president assassinated by a member of the current president's cabinet. Because that ex-president was about to reveal secrets of the corrupt member of the president's cabinet. So he had to be killed. And he did it in a very stupid way, too. He said, left a message for somebody saying, I need to tell you something that's of vital national interest, but I'm going to tell you tomorrow because that'll give people enough time to get to me. So they killed that guy. And then they arranged this fake hostage drama in an airport that actually results in people being killed, but the whole purpose of that was simply to hand a key card to somebody who was a fake hostage, who would then go and take the chemical weapons that were stored in the back and smuggle them out of the airport in a SWAT truck that wasn't really a SWAT truck. This is all within 3 hours. And then take that to the very same port that I came in on, Long Beach, California, supposedly to bring it to Russia to incinerate the city of Moscow to punish them for being nasty to the separatists. They never say Chechen separatists. They just say Russian separatists. And then, of course, the entire thing is revealed. And now the weapons are in the United States, and they're going to be used against the United States as revenge. But the interesting thing about this was that the reasoning of the corrupt cabinet member for doing what he did was that he would get these weapons into, quote-unquote, Central Asia and then have a smoking gun to prove that there were weapons of mass destruction there so that they could send a massive military force and justify it. So last year, the theme was getting away with terrorism. Not terrorism, not torture. I guess it's sort of the same thing. This year, the theme seems to be incompetence in the White House. I just wonder where they get their material. What inspires them? So we'll see how far that goes. The president in office now is this real spineless jellyfish guy who's more concerned about his image than anything else. And I just wonder, you know, where's that going to go? How far is Fox willing to go in this? Oh, yeah, and this story today that came out fairly recently, an explosion Monday at a company in Jacksonville, Florida, that makes airplane, helicopter, and military parts, may have exposed up to 44 people with radiation. Minor levels, they say, according to the Jacksonville Fire Department. The explosion was caused by a gas canister used to make airplane ignition systems. The gas contained a low level of radiation that was dispersed in the area where the ignition systems are made. They say the level of radiation exposure was approximately equal to an X-ray. We'll see about that. Check in on that part of the world in about 20 years. See how people are doing. Well, mercy me, the time is just about up. I don't know if we're on next week. I know we have a reggae-thon that's taking place, but I can't find any information as to when it ends. I know it ends on Tuesday, but does it end before the show or after the show? Well, we'll find out. We'll post something on the website. It's not on the USB website. I'm looking there right now. But regardless, we'll be on Off the Hook tomorrow night, and if not next week, in 2 weeks on this station for Off the Wall. Until then, have a good night. Stay awake. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next time. Good night.
You say the hill's too steep to climb.
Hi, this is Al Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.